You're listening to Everlasting Fruit with B. Charles. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you to seek God daily. It's about learning to be intentional in our walk with the Lord by remaining rooted in Christ. It's about reading to know and love God's Word. It's about producing fruit that brings glory to God. It's a journey of growth and everlasting fruitfulness. Join me weekly so that together we can draw encouragement from the Word of God. I pray that the Lord will use this podcast to move you to seek Him daily for every day and for every area of your lives. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, ladies. I am so honored to have you join me. Today, I will be sharing some methods of studying the Bible. I hope this will be helpful to tie in together all the talks on seeking God and reading His Word. I'm sure you were like, okay, but how do I do that? Don't worry, I got you. Remember that reading and studying the Bible develops our Christian character. It informs our ideologies, our behavior, and the things we subscribe to. So the Bible reveals our purpose and our identity. Just like we read books to keep our mind sharp, the Bible sharpens and develops our spiritual mind and appetite. The more you read the Word, the more you crave for biblical things, the more you crave for the things of God. What we subscribe to reveals our interests. I don't know about you, sis, but I am interested in knowing, living, loving, and doing what the Lord wants me to do. I was so exhausted from the mediocre Christian life of no fruit to show, no fruit to confirm that I was in Christ. So right now, I don't know how much time I have on this earth, but I intend to live in a way that the world can see nobody else but Jesus. This would be the part where I cue in nobody by casting crowns, but hey, we have copyright issues. So we move. Anyway, let's read what the Bible says about Scripture and the importance of it. So Deuteronomy 11 verses 18 to 19, it states, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Look at that. Those are all the activities that we do in a day, right? We're talking, we're sitting, we're walking, we lie down and we rise, we stand. So in everything that we do, we should have the Word of God with us in order for us to engage in it constantly, reflect on it constantly. It should always ever be before us. Let's look at Ezra chapter 7 verses 10. And it states, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules to the Israelites." So not only did he study it just for studying's sake, he set his heart to do what the law states. And also, to when he was doing it, he actually set his heart also that he should know the law so that he can teach it to the Israelites. He can teach it to others. So that's a very important point. So let's look at Acts 17 verses 11. And it states, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So we are to examine the scriptures. You know, when we hear something, when we go somewhere and somebody is talking about the things of God, we go to the scriptures to see whether these things are so. We go through the whole Bible, because the whole Bible is, you know, a complete story. There is nothing that is left out that God wanted to tell us. Everything that God wanted to tell us is there in the Word. So We examine the scriptures to see if these things were so. When we receive a word, we are to go to the word with eagerness to find out, hey, is this word that I've heard, is it true? Is it according to what the Lord, instructs? Anyway, let's move on to James chapter 1, verses 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if you are only hearers of the word, you are deceiving yourselves, because what makes us wise is that we know a matter and we apply it with understanding. But we deceive ourselves when we know a matter, but we do nothing about what we know. We understand it, but then we don't even apply it. We don't even use it. That is being deceived. So we must be doers of the word and not just hearers. Amen. So we should know that the word of God fills our spirit. It fills our spiritual home and it equips us to serve God. But anyway, let's go to Psalms 119 verses 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God lights up our path so that we may do what is right, so that we may walk in a path that pleases the Lord. So let's look at 2 Peter 1 verses 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. I just want to repeat that. 2 Peter 1 verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, like that is so rich, in that the word of God cannot be interpreted just by what we think or what we feel. The word of God has an intention. The writer, through the inspiration of God and even the leading of God and even just God putting his word in that person, literally like Jeremiah, we cannot interpret based on, you know, our circumstances or, you know, what we think. We interpret it based on what the intention of the writer was. So that's a good point to keep. Anyway, so we see that reading of the word is nourishment for our soul as food is to the body. It furnishes us with spiritual insight and equips us for service to our Lord and to others, right? Because we serve God and we also serve others. That is the body of Christ. It informs how we walk in this life and how we engage with society. So reading the Bible will inform how we engage, you know, because when we read the Bible, we know that, hey, I need to do this instead of this. And hey, I need to speak this way instead of that way, even if I want to. But because, you know, I am of the Lord and this is the Lord's expectation of me, I am to speak this way. So it definitely informs how we engage with society. We aren't just to read, but we are to examine the text to understand it and be sure of its truth and content. We're to read and also do what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit makes scripture come alive to us and makes passages clear to us as well. So let's look at five popular Bible study methods, and I will identify which one I use. Number one. The SOAP Bible study method. It's an acronym that stands for scripture, observation, application, and prayer. This denotes that you read a passage and then write it out and observe what the passage is saying to you. Then once you determine the message, instruction or correction, etc., you apply it to your life and pray about it. I don't know why this popped up as a Bible study method, but it is one of the most popular methods out there. I see it all the time, and I see people use it all the time. But personally, I do not consider it an in-depth Bible study method. I guess maybe, you know, for starting, or if you don't have much time, you can use it. But I believe that it is a means to help you read your Bible and pray. You know, for studying, unfortunately, it does not get deep enough for one to study. But hey, anything is left for interpretation, because you can read a passage and use all of this and, you know, dig deeper. But I believe that in the way that, you know, I have encountered it, or I've seen people use it, it's not really for a deeper study. It's more so getting the scripture, getting the message, applying it and praying for it. Because this could very well be just one verse you read and make observation that can be translated into, you know, application for your life and situation, and then praying for guidance or repentance, depending on what the Holy Spirit convicts you on. However, I do not trumpet at all, because it still gets you to open your Bible and read. Hopefully, the Lord leads you to go beyond the verse and passage to dig deeper in the Word. What this method is awesome for is memorizing scripture. Hopefully, when you write down the scripture, you will return to it to meditate on it some more, and the verse can stick to your memory. You know, that's the goal for all of us. So, number two, the topical method. The topical Bible study method. This is a very popular one as well, and Google has helped make this a breeze for us, in that you can search for a particular topic and study the scripture that speak on this said topic. And we know this topical Bible study method is one of the popular ways that most, you know, whenever somebody is teaching, a lot of people use the topical Bible study method that will, you know, teach on a particular topic. And so obviously, if they're teaching on a particular topic, they had used the topical Bible study method. For example, you can study what it means to be watchful, and you can literally use Google and some websites to generate all the instances where watchful is covered in the Bible. Or you can go old school and use a concordance and look up watchful, and all the verses that cover it will come up. And, you know, you go around and see, you know, like, you know, what the word means, how the word was used, and, you know, what the relevance of it was. This can be received two ways, though. One, it can be superficial, in that you find and mostly search for scripture that fit the agenda that you want to fulfill in your study. And two, it can get really deep by developing your knowledge about a specific topic in the Bible. So when we study the word, I believe that we must go empty and without any motives, and let the word of God do its work in us, not just look for things that agree with our opinion or worldview, but you know, we should use a topical method to, you know, inform us of, you know, specific things that, you know, we want to expand in our knowledge about. Also, the topical method can also be very time consuming if you want to get down to studying the language gap, looking into the cultural background, the audience it was intended for, and the writer's intent. The downside to this is that people tend to only study the popular topics in the Bible and not as a whole. So let's go to number three. The thematic Bible study method. This is very similar to the topical method. However, this focuses on studying themes. It can be less time consuming, but be warned, if you're a nosy critter like me with the Bible, it can take you hours just looking things up in the concordance and cross references or commentaries. I have a Strong's concordance that I purchased from Amazon, but it is heavy. So when I am out and reading my Bible, because your girl reads her Bible at work, because sometimes I never have time at home, if I need further study on something, I continue it at home. And so I can't carry the concordance with me everywhere I go. So I just use online tools. There, you know, a plethora of online tools, you know, that can help you look for, you know, words in the Hebrew, in Greek, that can, you know, give you cross references. So I usually tend to those. And also I have, I have an app for the Blue Letter Bible and also Enduring Word Commentary because it's my favorite commentary and it's very, very accessible. So you can have them as apps on your phone so that they are easily accessible to you, literally at your fingertips. So the thematic Bible study sharpens one's knowledge of a particular theme in the Bible. So for instance, if you wanted to study consequences of sin, which, you know, is a theme, you should be ready for a long trip. But you can narrow it down to consequences of sin in the Garden of Eden. However, this could also get you into a character study, right? Because you want to see Adam and Eve and what happens after that. Or you can study the themes on the consequences of disobedience. But that's the whole Bible. Yeah. But anyway, really, the thematic Bible study method narrows things down tremendously in order for us to understand a theme quickly. But each method definitely has the option for more in-depth study because that's the nature of reading the Bible. You can't just be satisfied with a surface level understanding. And I'm learning this and I'm constantly praying for God to help me grow in my study and memorization of scripture, of course. Anyway, let's go to number four, the books by book Bible study method. This is when you study book at a time. This can be very time consuming. This is when you truly differentiate reading and studying, because reading a book can take you a few hours for the long ones and 15 minutes for the shorter ones. But to study a book, it can take you months. It can take you years. If you're truly wanting to go deep, if you're truly wanting to rake through verse after verse, meaning after meaning, intention, language, history, etc., know that you are in for a long journey. I advise that if you are opting for this type of studying, you should be reading the Bible as well to be up to date with what scripture says. So you'd be studying, say, for example, you know, the book of Joshua, but also keeping up with your regular reading. Because if you don't do that, you will be on this one book for the whole year or longer and lag behind on your knowledge of the other books. More like missing out on what God has to say elsewhere. But note, the word Bible means books. So it has 66 books. So it's not just one book, right? It has 66 books inside of it. So focusing on one book leaves us blind to the rest of the other books because scripture interprets scripture. So even in your reading, you will be led to other books for confirmation, for understanding, for clarity, and for more insight. So while you study one book, do not neglect the others. Two. Number five. So the inductive Bible study method, it covers observation, interpretation, and application, short for IOA, similar to SOAP, but differs in that SOAP ends with prayer. And also to achieve this Bible study method, you need to ask the following questions. What was happening during the time this was written? This covers a historical gap. Who were the original readers? This takes care of the audience. Who was the writer? You find out who wrote it. What did the writer mean? You get the writer's intent. What was being communicated? You get interpretation. How can I model my behavior based on what I learned? This is where application comes in. And what is God telling me through this passage? You get understanding, conviction, and the list goes on. There are tons of methods out there. The Holy Spirit also prompts and teaches us about Jesus and God and helps us to understand the word. So in all that you do, do not forget that you have a counselor present within you to lead and guide you through the word. And know that we are all different and we all have different learning styles and, you know, studying styles. So what I do may not work for you. So what method do I use? I use all these methods depending on the circumstances, even if they're not, you know, my favorite. When I don't have much time, I use soap because it works. When I have been given a topic to cover, I use a topical method, or sometimes I cover a theme. When I have a little bit more time, I sit down and use the inductive Bible study method and reflect on the text and ask relevant questions about the text. This year, I have started a journey on studying book by book. I am studying Matthew. I can see that I have a long road ahead of me because January is at its end and I haven't even passed the genealogy of Jesus. I'm still researching and scraping through to untangle some things that I'm discovering. Because guess what? When you read the other books, such as Luke, it gives a different focus on the genealogy of Jesus. So I'm raking through commentaries to understand why Matthew lists his that way. I'm starting to believe that at some point, I will probably have to go back to school and study theology or biblical studies or something, because I really love it. And that is why I hope you find these methods helpful and give a few of them a try and see how they would work for you. I like to remind myself that the substance is what I seek and not, and the method is just a tool I use to get it. So focus on what the word is about. God. Remember that intention needs to be followed through with action. Otherwise, year after year, we will have the intention without committing to follow through. And commitment needs discipline. So I pray that the Lord may lead you to Him daily for the rest of this month and for the rest of the year. So I hope you had a great time, and I pray that you find something useful in this episode. So without further ado, I will see you next month. Have a wonderful day and the rest of the week. God bless.
Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating and review. I look forward to reading all of them. And don't forget to share the encouragement with your friends and family. Also, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Everlasting Fruit Podcast, or you could shoot me an email at everlasting.fruit8@gmail.com. That's everlasting.fruit8@gmail.com. Until the next time, God bless.